Station. Are you ready, Alabama? It's time to enter the doghouse.
You need to be more like a dog.
Ruff, silence, quiet.
All my boys, stand up.
We don't need a bunch of cats in here.
Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on.
Hello?
Hello?
Are you a dog?
Yes!
I am also a dog.
All right!
Yeah!
We're dogs!
Yeah, we're dogs.
We're dogs that live near each other.
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios, it's time for the highly sought-after, fabulous final hour of the Tom Abraham Show.
Okay, folks, the guy in front of you is Tommy. He'll be taking you through my little spiel here.
Here he is, the head of the household, the big dog. Here's Tom Abraham.
We strong.
You all may be taking the week off, right, this week, but I'm not.
And welcome back for the highly sought after, fabulous final hour of the Tom Abraham Show on this hump day in the doghouse. Or should we call it ump day in the doghouse? That's pretty much what we've been trying to call it for the most part. Of course, unless you've been out of the country today or whatever, you know by now the news of Aaron Hernandez and his suicide. It was still a bit of a stunner, even though what Arky says is correct. I mean, it's hard to have feelings that, you know, this guy, to feel any sorrow for him. The sorrow I feel for Aaron Hernandez is the fact that he totally wasted his God-given talent, that he had a gift, and that he totally wasted his life. The fact that he killed himself, okay. But that he had already done the damage. But there are a lot of interesting things that have come out of this deal. One of the most interesting things of it, and Brian Shachman of NBC talked about just how it was kind of a stunning development.
Listen, I've been covering this stuff for a long, long time. This was truly a shocking story. I was already in the newsroom. You know, it happened. They found him at 3:07 this morning, pronounced dead at 4:05. We got the news right around 6 a.m., and it was a stunner.
Well, not only was it a stunner, but now there's this little tidbit. And by the way, I had to explain to my own son, my oldest son, as to, you know, what was going on with Hernandez and the acquittal on the double murder. And he was like, well, why would he do this? He got acquitted of everything except for a gun charge. He had a gun charge. That's on this dude. He was already doing life without parole on the Olin Lloyd murder. So this was like 4 years. He got 4 years for the gun charge. On top of the life parole is like, okay, so you got 4 years, you got life, and then if something happens and you're like, you know, to come back from life, then you will get 4 more years. So it was, you know, was not looking good, but he was in the process of appealing the Olin Lloyd murder. And apparently that means that the Olin Lloyd judgment gets dismissed, according to Shachman.
Because the Olin Lloyd case was on appeal, technically that conviction has to be vacated. So in history, in perpetuity, he will not go down as a convicted murderer, because that's not true. Because technically that will come off the books because it was under appeal when he died.
So, you know, as crazy as that sounds, I'm reading a story by Laura Italiano. That's her name. It's her real name. It's not like she's, you know, her name is Laura Italiano. She writes for the New York Post.
But don't ever take sides with anyone against the family again.
That's her name. I didn't make it up. I'm reading this story. And it says, by hanging himself in his prison cell, Aaron Hernandez may have just screwed his murder victim's family out of recovering any civil damages. All thanks to an obscure, century-old snippet of Massachusetts case law. Aaron Hernandez goes to his death an innocent man in the eyes of the law. Martin Healy, chief legal counsel to the Massachusetts Bar Association, told the Boston Globe. So, you know, Arkey says he took the coward's way out, not wanting to face life in prison. More on that in a moment. Well, not only did he take the coward's way out, he took the coward's way out to save whatever he may have had left, and I don't know if he had anything left, which would go to his family now because he dies an innocent man. The story continues. The legal twist results from the fact that when he died Wednesday, Hernandez was still appealing the murder conviction for which he was serving life in prison without parole. Since his appeal will never be resolved, a doctrine called abatement ab initio now gives Hernandez the benefit of the doubt. The doctrine nullifies Hernandez's conviction for the 2013 shooting murder of his pal semi-pro football player Olin Lloyd. It's as if the prosecution trial and guilty verdict never happened. Unfortunately, in the Olin Lloyd matter, for the family, there won't be any real closure, Healy told the Globe. Hernandez appellate lawyer John Thompson told the Globe that the DA could still challenge any motion to vacate the conviction. But while rarely used, abatement ab initio has successfully wiped clean the records of some convicts. Most notably, the case of Enron CEO Kenneth Lay. After Lay died of a heart attack in 2006, after his conviction, but prior to his sentencing, the doctrine wiped out his criminal record. And the government lost access to $44 million in victim restitution. And his entire estate went to the family. So whatever's left of Hernandez, NFL millions, including his $1.5 million mansion in the Boston suburb, may now belong to his 4-year-old daughter, Eviel, and her mother, Shayana Jenkins, to whom Hernandez was engaged at the time of his death. So there's that. Now, there is just so much that is coming out of the story now. All kinds of different things. And we're assuming suicide. We're assuming suicide and not murder. Now there's this. Sources are telling multiple media outlets that Aaron Hernandez was found with a Bible verse, John 3:16, written on his forehead. A Bible open to that verse was found in his cell. It had been noted previously that Hernandez routinely read the Bible with Urban Meyer every morning during his Gators career. Okay. So Aaron Hernandez read the Bible every morning with Urban Meyer during his Gators career and then went out and killed people? Pretty sure he's not buying in. Now, the story says that the John 3:16 message found on Aaron Hernandez's forehead was written in red blood marker, not blood. Have you heard that part of the story at all yet, T-Mac? That it was a marker and it wasn't his blood?
I don't know. I mean, why would reports say his finger was gashed open? I mean, I don't know. I don't think it was a marker. If you're going to go crazy before you die and write Bible verses on your face, then you got to go all the way.
This came at 4 o'clock from Fox 25 in Boston. I mean, it's not like just some clown. I mean, Now, as to the John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I'm not a Bible scholar. I'm a faithful man, but I'm a very much flawed man, but I'm not an expert on this. But my teaching has always been that suicide is murder. That you're killing yourself. And that you can't kill yourself into heaven. Now, there's a lot of debate about this, even among Christians. I'm going to say that right off the top. I'm not going to get into this whole a Christian debate about it, except for the fact to say that there are Christians that debate this issue. I don't know how you repent from that kind of a sin. Committing murder. Boom, that's it. I mean, do you have time? I don't know how. Now, I'm not bigger than God, so I'm not going to question what God could do. I don't know what God could do. I mean, maybe dude's there. I don't know. It doesn't seem to wash. I mean, there were people in history that had it a lot worse than Aaron Hernandez, Job, and others that you could find in the Bible that went through awful, awful time with the faith that God would save them. And if Aaron Hernandez truly believed that God would save him, then there would be no need for him to whack himself. Then he could do something positive with his life. That he could actually, who knows, maybe he becomes a pastor in the prison. Testify to other folks. Long-suffering. Totally come clean. Admit whatever he had done to these families. And then just, you know, bide that time as long as he thinks it is. It's a blip. It's a blip. Compared to eternity, right? It's just a blip. Pretty sure you can't suicide your way in. And then, of course, there's the response of his close friends. And look, again, folks are emotional. They lost somebody that they're close to. But Mike and Marquise Pouncey were very, very close. The Pouncey twins were very close to Aaron Hernandez. They all played together in Gainesville from 07 to 09. And they both posted messages after getting that news. Mike Pouncey posted, "To my friend, my brother, through thick and thin, right or wrong, we never left each other's side. Today my heart hurts. As I got the worst news that I could ever imagine. It was just a day ago that we shared our last conversation. I will forever miss you and love you, bro. We will meet again. Rest easy." Okay. I mean, if that makes him feel better, we'll meet again. I don't know where you're going to meet up with him. And Marquise Pouncey posted, "Today is a tough day. The world may think whatever, but to my brother, I love you. God strengthen us all." Yeah, well, that's a good sentiment. God strengthen us all. But, you know, I mean, I don't want to, we can't stand in judgment of how people are grieving and whatnot. But it is a coward's way out. But the whole 316 thing, the whole John 316 thing, somebody's getting some bad information. I believe that's just me. So I put that out there. Arizona Jay is up. Arizona Jay, welcome to the show. How are you?
How you doing, Mr. Abraham?
I'm hanging in there, brother.
Yeah, it's been a crazy day. Real crazy day, a lot of news. I mean, I woke up this morning, I was like, what? Because I was watching Mike and Mike probably about like 5 o'clock this morning. Mm-hmm. And the news came up. And I don't know, it's like, yeah, I feel bad because, it's like one of those statistics, people like wasting their lives and stuff like that. But, I mean, at the same time, this is the same dude that supposedly the mother people that got killed there in the club, and he got mad because the guy spilled his drink. And this dude waited in the parking lot for these people for like hours, and then drove by and lit him up. You know what I mean? It's like,
well, he's a bad man. I mean, he's a bad man. The tragedy isn't that he's now dead. I'll be honest with you. You know, that's saving money for the state. The tragedy is that he wasted his talent. He should have never been, you know, he shouldn't have been killing people. He should have gone down that path. The tragedy is that this guy who was given this outstanding gift to be a wonderful player. I mean, he could have been even a Hall of Fame type of player in the NFL. He was that good. I mean, he was, I think, better than Gronkowski because he had more tools, you know, at his disposal. If he'd have been able to keep himself on the straight and narrow, that the tragedy is what he did to his gift, the untapped potential, the unused potential. The fact that at this point in time he checked out, you know, that's not the tragedy. You know, talk to Olin Lloyd's family about that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you because that's what I looked at. I was like, man, I mean, this guy is the first person at the tight end position because Belichick used to run him out of the backfield. Yeah. I've seen Belichick give him a toss sweep, and he almost took it to the house. I mean, he was that versatile. That's what makes me kind of sad. I was like, damn, bro. Like, where was this coming? If that had been my friend, I knew he was that. But some friends you got, they ain't blood pumping through their veins. It's like habanero sauce, you know, and hot lava. You know what I mean? Sometimes you have friends like that, and you're like, you got to be that one to be like, look, you need to calm down. You know what I mean? No, matter of fact, let's go home right now. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, if he had a friend sitting there in the car with him, when he did that, and he went and murdered his friend over there because his friend was with him, like, dude, you should have spoke up. I mean, what kind of friends you got? Because I wouldn't let none of my homies, you know, I don't care how hot blood they are. Like, look, it's time to go. I'm not the toughest dude in the world, but you're not taking me down this road with you. And you know what I mean? And also, as far as it being the suicide, I guess, I heard him talking on the radio today, and they said that jail he was in, they had problems with suicides in there already before. And they tried to make that jail as suicide-proof as possible. So, and it's kind of like, you know, even the guy, they were saying the guy's lawyer was like, man, he wouldn't kill himself. But that news you just said, like, his family gets, you know, the house, the money and stuff like that now. Maybe that's what he was thinking about. Like, you know what, I'm not going to be selfish and, you know, I'm going to just go ahead and do this. But,
well, if he knew,
you know, even with the religious stuff and everything, hey, man, like, I love God, but I really don't like religion, man, because people get to talking like this dude and then his friends, you know, stuff like that, talking God, reading the Bible every day, but still going out killing people. You know, people get to talking the Bible verses with me. I'm like you, how you're like, hey, you know, all right, man, okay, all right, let me get away from you. You know what I mean? So that's all I got to say about that. It's a sad day.
Yeah, it's about walking the walk, not talking the talk. A lot of people talk the talk. You know, you got to walk the walk. I mean, you know, that's the deal right there. I mean, you know, but it you know, and it bothers me when you see stories like that. You say, well, he read the Bible every day with Urban Meyer. Well, what was going on then, man? I mean, how was he going out killing people after he's reading the Bible? You know, to him it was a book then. It was just he might as well be reading War and Peace or something, or read Rob Gronkowski's book Gronk or something like that. I mean, you know, what are you doing?
I don't know, man. I think like when people get like that, I mean, that's why the war. That's why we always in wars and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Because people just take like I don't know what they read when they read their Bibles and stuff like that. It's like what are you looking at? Are we reading the same thing? You know what I mean? Because
well, the interpretation. Look, I think there's no doubt about it, Jay. That the Bible is the most misinterpreted document that has ever been presented in the history of the world. I mean, there have been more wars fought over that and more. I mean, look, that nut Koresh, you know, David Koresh at Waco, Texas, or James Jones, you know, over there. And, you know, they thought everything they were doing was in the name of the Bible, you know. So the Bible has been more misinterpreted than any book ever written.
Mm-hmm. It's like I take my translation and I try to, like you say, walk the walk, treat people how they're supposed to be treated in not thinking about killing people, and sometimes people make you so mad you want to kill them. That's what your parents might tell you that. You know what? You're going to make me strangle you. You know what I mean? But no, it's you know, I don't know. I don't really like talking religion, but it's just kind of crazy that, you know, this guy's got this on his forehead and read the Bible every day. It's like, man, what was really going on? My whole thing is, who in the hell was his friend? You know what I mean? And they know he's been like this all this time.
Well, then unless somebody, and you wonder, Ed, thanks for the call, Jay. I appreciate it, Arizona Jay.
Yeah.
It's a good job. If you, I wonder about the hanging of by a sheet. I mean, it seems so cliche. I mean, can you do that? Can you hang yourself in a jail cell by a sheet, really, hooked to a window? I'll be 100% honest with you, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist kind of guy. It would not surprise me at all if we find out at some point in time that he had a little assistance with that suicide. That would not shock me at all. But this law, as far as him dying and being considered innocent now because of it, this is not a coincidence. This is not something we just didn't know. They knew about that deal. Somebody knew about that deal. So maybe he's being a coward. And maybe he's figuring, maybe he didn't buy into the Bible at all anyway, so he figured he was either going to be worm food or go to hell anyway. So maybe he did an unselfish thing. Maybe he whacked himself thinking that whatever he's got left, including his $1.5 million home, would go to his fiance and his daughter. Not to give him any credit for that, I'm just saying. So we're going to learn, unfortunately, last week I was like, why is this guy a story anymore? Well, now it's going to go on even more. But there's a lot. There's going to be a lot to look at in that.
Should be a friggin' investigation.
Oh, there will be. Let's get a break. When we come back, we'll rapidly rewind it for you. It's the Tom Abraham Show right here on 730-1039. Yeah.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The Ump. It's time for 60 with Cole Kubelik.
With Alabama's spring game this weekend, I'm actually intrigued not to watch the offensive line, as I normally would, but the defensive line. I look at some of the production that's going to be gone from this Alabama front seven. Ryan Anderson, Tim Williams, Jonathan Allen, Reuben Foster, Dalvin Tomlinson, combined for 64.5 of Alabama's 118 tackles for loss last season. They also combined for 36.5 of Alabama's 54 sacks from a season ago. Throw in 4 touchdowns that they also scored and leadership. I think depth could be a concern for Alabama up front. Now, listen, I get it. Terrell Hall, Christian Miller, Anthony Jennings, Isaiah Bugs are all the next great defensive linemen to line up in Alabama. But I'm just not sure because I haven't seen them prove it yet at all. I'll be watching that D-line Saturday afternoon.
Don't miss the Cube Show with Cole Kubelik and Arky Shea. Weekday morning 6 to 10 a.m. only on The Ump. Don't miss a single pitch of Atlanta Braves baseball as the 2017 Braves look to make some waves in the National League this season.
Hit hard to right field, into the seats for Inciarte. He tomahawked that.
Tonight, the battle for the National League East is on at SunTrust Park as Nick Markakis and the Braves face off against the Washington Nationals. Braves radio goes on the air at 6:20 on the Atlanta Braves radio network.
Stop into Lowe's, where you'll find big savings on those projects popping up on your to-do list. Tackle your turf by bringing home a new John Deere D100 Series riding lawnmower and get a $150 Lowe's gift card via mail-in rebate to use later. And for 5 days only, get your garden off to a tasty start with Bonnie vegetable plants, 4 for $12. All projects have a starting point. Start with Lowe's. John Deere offer valid 419 through 51. Exclusions apply. Plan offer valid 420 through 424 while supplies last. Color and selection vary by location. U.S. only. See store for details.
Hey Metro PCS and Cricket customers, are you tired of family plans with data limits? Check out Boost Mobile's best family plan ever. Right now, add a line with unlimited gigs for just $30 a month. Is that an amazing value or what? Even more amazing, you can add up to 4 lines with unlimited gigs for $30 each, all on Boost's crazy fast nationwide network. And did we mention that your first month is free for your new lines? Plus, when you switch, you can get up to 4 free Samsung Galaxy phones. Goodbye, Metro PCS. See you, Cricket. Hello, Boost, and the best family plan ever. What are you waiting for? Visit a Boost Mobile store today. Offer ends 6/1/17. Primary line must be on $50 plan. Video streams optimized at 480p plus. Music up to 500 kilobits per second. And cloud gaming up to 2 megabits per second. Data deprioritization applies during congestion. 3 month credit for each additional line is $30. Max 4 additional lines. Credit applied at time of activation. Free phone requires port in and activation on $50 plan while supplies last. Coverage and offers not available everywhere. Restrictions apply.
Napa Know How.
Tooling around the yard on a riding mower isn't just yard time. That's listen to the game time. Enjoy the great outdoors time. Or maybe just think about absolutely nothing time. Unless you've got a dead battery, that's no fun time. So head to Napa, where lawn and garden batteries are as low as $21.99 with exchange. That's $21.99, just in time for mowing time. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer expires 4/30/17.
Hey, Metro PCS and Cricket customers. Are you tired of family plans with data limits? Check out Boost Mobile's best family plan ever. Right now, add a line with unlimited gigs for just $30 a month. Is that an amazing value or what? Even more amazing, you can add up to 4 lines with unlimited gigs for $30 each, all on Boost's crazy fast nationwide network. And did we mention that your first month is free for your new lines? Plus, when you switch, you can get up to 4 free Samsung Galaxy phones. Goodbye, Metro PCS. See you, Cricket. Hello, Boost, and the best family plan ever. What are you waiting for? Visit a Boost Mobile store today. Offer ends 6/1/17. Primary line must be on $50 plan. Video streams optimized at 480p plus. Music up to 500 kilobits per second. And cloud gaming up to 2 megabits per second. Data deprioritization applies during congestion. 3 month credit for each additional line is $30. Max 4 additional lines. Credit applied at time of activation. Free phone requires port in and activation on $50 plan while supplies last. Coverage and offers not available everywhere. Restrictions apply.
Brought to you by Kubota. He's the neighbor with the RN zero turn. He mows, maintains, shapes, and perfects. He takes pride in himself and this place he calls home. This is why he does it. Kubota. Find your local Kubota dealer at alabamakubotadealers.com.
A chance of widely scattered showers or storms this evening. Otherwise, fair tonight, the low 63. Tomorrow, partly sunny and warm. Just a small chance of a shower, the high 84. Friday, a mix of sun and clouds with developing showers and storms by afternoon. The high Friday at 82. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Are you ready, Alabama? It's time to enter the doghouse.
All right, I got an idea. Every once in a while, I have an idea. I want to give away a pair of tickets to Pablo Francisco, who will be at Stand Up Comedy Live. And I'll tell you what, let's give away two pair. We'll give away two pair of tickets to Pablo Francisco for one pair for Thursday night late show, 9:30 Thursday night, and the Friday night late show, 9:30 Friday night, okay? Thursday night and Friday, $40 worth of tickets to Stand Up Live in Huntsville on the South Parkway for Pablo Francisco. By the way, who's very good. You know, he's been on a Jimmy Fallon show. He's been on a Comedy Central, the VH1. He's very talented guy. Just ask Wolverine Dan about him. Wolverine Dan's a big, big fan of him. Anyway, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to give away two pair, one for Thursday, one for Friday. What you need to do is hit the text window, 7329-TA-SHOW, 732-982-7469, with the order of guests in our rapid rewind. So take a listen, mark them down, tell me who you think they are. Listen close. You might have clues in there. I might reset during the thing. You don't know. But give me the order of our guests. There were 4 guests on the show today. You give me the correct order at the text window, and you've got yourself a pair of tickets to either Thursday or Friday night, 9:30 show for Pablo Francisco at Stand Up Live. Take a listen. Anthony Herron with us from the Pac-12 Network. All right, the city of Los Angeles has two of the best college quarterbacks in the country playing right there with Sam Darnold and the chosen one, whatever they want to call him here, Josh Rosen at UCLA. Now, last year you did the USC spring game. This year you're doing the UCLA spring game. I think both those quarterbacks are better than what the Rams have right now. Maybe not. I don't want to disparage Jared Goff too much. Another Pac-12 guy. Maybe, you know, he'll come on and have a year this year. But, you know, Josh Rosen was great his freshman year. Not so much last year. Sam Darnold is the leading candidate for the Heisman Trophy already. Could we see a sophomore slump out of that guy, or will he have a better second year than Rosen had?
He's going to have a better second year than Rosen had. I think with Sam Darnold, he's already become so productive by comparison to Josh Rosen, you know, for a freshman, especially a true freshman in the starting lineup for UCLA. He did play really well, but they transitioned systems in Rosen's second year with UCLA with Jim Moore, my old coach from the Atlanta Falcons. He doesn't like to call it a pro-style offense. There's still some spread elements to it. They basically go with multiple looks for UCLA's offense now, but there's definitely more of a ground-held element to the running game. They've got fullbacks on the roster. They've got more true tight ends on the roster now than they've had before. So it is a different Bruins offense. With Sam Darnold, the thing that he has that so few quarterbacks tend to have, you know, we see a guy like Patrick Mahomes struggling with his perception in the NFL draft this year, where he's viewed as this guy that gets outside the pocket, that extends plays, you know, the quote-unquote gunslinger that's going to throw from these weird, odd, you know, arm angles and kind of, you know, try to make the flashy play. Sam Darnold has that ability. I called so many plays of his last season where he was doing things that would just wow you and that would make highlight reels. But he can operate at a very high level from within the pocket as well. And his release is so quick. His decision-making is so precise. So he's kind of combined those two elements of the quarterback position in a way that so few have. And I think that's what makes him a special talent.
But they missed at the beginning of last year. They went with Max Brown instead of Sam Darnold. You know, you were there for the spring game last year. Was that the right call? I mean, did Clay Helton just miss on that or what?
What struck me last year, because I was there during the spring and then I was there again during fall camp. So for the spring game last year, as you referenced, Max Brown was not only ahead of Sam Darnold, he was far ahead. I mean, you know, he was a guy going into his fourth year in the system. He was a, you know, fourth year junior. He'd been around the offense. It was basically his turn after he had waited season by season to finally get into the lineup. And he just learned the game of collegiate football at a level that Sam Darnold hadn't learned it yet. You could obviously tell from an arm strength, from a talent standpoint, you know, that Sam Darnold was a different guy, different breed of athlete than Max Brown. He just wasn't playing quarterback as well yet. Fast forward to fall camp, and in those few months, it was amazing to me how much, in watching them during a scrimmage during fall camp, how much Sam Darnold had closed the gap on Max Brown. And I think, you know, the thing Clay Helton factors into that decision going into the Alabama game in the opener, one, from a practice player standpoint, Max Brown was looking like a better practice player than maybe he did as far as showing the flash and the big playability in game. And then Sam Darnold looked like a guy who would kind of go off script in practice, wouldn't always do things as they were drawn up from an X's and O's standpoint. It was one of those things where Sam looked exciting. He looked fun in practice. But between Clay Helton and his offensive coordinator, T. Martin, it was difficult for them to quantify how would these sort of fun, cool, clever off-script plays on the practice field translate to the game field, and especially putting them out there against the best defense in college football in the opener against Alabama. So I 100% understand the decision they made, but in retrospect, yes, Sam Darnold looks like hands down, you know, the slam dunk choice that should have been made. But we have the advent of retrospect of the 2020 hindsight now, right, Seeing him in game situations.
In the West, of course, we had the epic meltdown of David Fizdale, who can get that Urkel face going. You know, I'm trying to get my guys. I posted a particular picture that was up at SB Nation of him with this look on his face and those black glasses and everything else, and he kind of had a little Urkel thing going. But he goes on that epic rant, gets clipped for $30,000 for it. Did he have a point? I mean, was it just too much to handle, or is there, you know, his guys just aren't drawing the fouls?
Well, no, there's two things. One, the numbers indicate that they should have drawn more fouls. Now, that doesn't mean that San Antonio didn't magically that night play perfect defense and just happened to not foul them a bunch of times, but it would seem to indicate that they got ripped off on the whistles. I loved him standing up for players. I love the line, take that for data. I love all that stuff. And, you know, his players stepping up and saying, we got this fine for you, coach, is really something. I think this is a unified team that I don't think they're going to beat the San Antonio Spurs, but they're at least making some noise with this now. And I can't wait to see how they come out in a response to that. Because when your coach lays it on the line for you like that, you see very often teams respond. And I think, you know, even like if you talk about like a situation in Chicago where Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade got on their teammates and Rajon Rondo laid it on the line for those teammates, that sort of helped the turnaround Chicago season. I just think moments like this are interesting. In the end, I don't think Memphis has enough to beat them, but I want to see how they play.
Yeah, well, and they'll be at the Grindhouse beginning tomorrow night. That one will be on TNT as well, and we'll see what happens there. Otherwise, it's looking like San Antonio could roll through that one, and then they could always use the rest. Now, speaking of using the rest, would you play Kevin Durant if you're Golden State? I would wait to see if, you know, Portland could even win a game before I worried about rolling that guy out.
It's the same thing as last year. Be more conservative with Steph Curry on his return than less conservative. I said the same thing with Kevin Durant. Be more conservative than less conservative. You've got the one game to nothing edge. You can't imagine the Portland backcourt having a better first half than they had in the first half in game one. So I think, you know, if they played a seven-game series and Kevin Durant wasn't a part of it, I still think Golden State wins, and I think they win rather comfortably. I think it's a little tougher, but Kevin Durant's the best player on the Golden State Warriors, so they're going to try to play without him. His very first game as Golden State Warrior, he led them in scoring, and I think it's going to be, you know, this is going to be something that I think lingers throughout the playoffs. I think, you know, injuries are a part of that, and this team, I think, has shown they can adjust. I wouldn't risk it, though, tonight, and I don't think they will.
And tonight in the early game, it'll be OKC at Houston. The Rockets ran the Thunder out of the gym in game one there. You had a situation with Russell Westbrook where he took more shots than he had points in that game. And James Harden, OKC had no answer at all for their ex-teammate with James. Can you imagine how good they still would be if they had Durant and James Harden? I mean, yeah, that's this guy. Westbrook's got to just throw up a little bit in his mouth, you know, when he thinks about how that team could have been, man. They could have been Golden State, man.
What's weird to me is you talk to people in that situation and you say, would they have figured it out? Would they have started James Harden? And there's people that say no, that he would have still been coming off the bench in OKC. That confounds me. But nonetheless, if you imagine a Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Kevin Durant, and me and you, Tom, lineup now, I think they're a formidable team and they can roll. Would James Harden have become this James Harden, potential MVP candidate? Russell Westbrook, perhaps the MVP. Kevin Durant's already won the MVP. I mean, they've got three guys that are three of the very best players in the league. They were on the same team for a while. It would have been neat to see them make it work. I just don't know that you would have seen fully what these guys became, particularly James Harden, if they hadn't moved on.
Yeah, but you know, guys are going to do it. It seems crazy that, you know, and then they're so quick to make a decision on a quarterback, whether it's in the, you know, a free agent or a draft. I mean, look at the Brock Osweiler situation. Now, look, I know the kid looked like he couldn't throw it in the ocean, but my gosh, I mean, they just wrote him off. He's done. Send him to Cleveland. Get a pick back for him. You know, Browns are probably not going to use him. They're probably just going to go ahead and cut him and stuff like that. We make decisions pretty fast on QBs now. It used to be you guys would develop, you know, as a quarterback, and you'd come in your third year. Best quarterback in the league right now is Aaron Rodgers. Sat for 4 years, you know, but nobody does that anymore.
Well, that's the problem with these guys, because I think ever since they did the salary cap for the first 4 years or the first round of the kids that are in the draft, when they went to the point they put caps on them, now it becomes a situation where you can go ahead and take a guy because you know you're not going to load up with the money they gave Sam Bradford years ago when he was a first-round pick, who I think he's average at best. and nobody wants to get like that again. So, yeah, you go and draft the first-round quarterback. You don't have to give him that much money compared to when you gave six, 7, 8 years ago. Well, with all that being said, Tom, you know, when you talk about quarterbacks and developing quarterbacks, you should get a guy and sit him 2 or 3 years. That's the only way. With Drew Brees, that's the best thing you can do. Drew's going to play 3 or 4 more years. So will Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers the same way. You get a guy behind those guys, that's great. But your teams like Cleveland, your teams like Houston, and certain teams that want quarterbacks, well, they're going to far-fetch and reach to get a guy, and they're going to make him, try to make him play. He might not just be that good enough to play, but you're stuck. Once you pick him and you draft him, then you got to figure out, right, do I play him or do I make him sit for a while? But if you're going to take him number one and you don't have a quarterback on your roster, you might as well play him.
There was a time, John Forkay, former Ole Miss quarterback with us, and New Orleans Saints quarterback, there was a time when a lot of people thought going into the season last year that when we were talking about this draft, the first quarterback coming out was going to be the guy from your alma mater, Chad Kelly. He's had a couple of injuries. Now he's ranked as a guy that's going to be maybe a seventh-round pick, maybe a free agent pick. If you're a team like the Saints – and you've got, you know, a guy that you in Drew Brees that you know you got for the next, you know, couple of years anyway. Would you take a shot on Chad Kelly? I mean, you know, God forbid they had all of his social media and everything back when you were coming out or his uncle Jim Kelly was coming out. Those guys, you never played. I mean, I know he's got a wild hair across his butt, but what do you think about your fellow rebel, Chad Kelly?
Well, Tom, listen, let's go back. Now, let's look what he did. His last 2 years at Ole Miss, did he get any trouble? No, he didn't. Did he play some good football? Did he beat some good football clubs? Was he playing good? Yes. He was playing well enough that when he got a knee injury this past year, at the end of his season, he was probably going to be, you know, a second, third, fourth round pick. Now, granted, they want to go out and bring up all these little off-the-field issues. And they, look, he has not done anything that deserves him not to be playing in the NFL. And if I'm the New Orleans Saints and he's sitting there third, I mean, the fourth, fifth, sixth round, there's a guy that won, I believe, 5 Super Bowls and still playing in New England right now. That was a 6th-round draft pick that they wasn't sure about him. Look, if Chad Kelly's sitting there and he's on that board 5th, 6th round, I would snatch that kid up in a heartbeat. That's the kid you let sit behind Drew Brees for 2 or 3 years, and then eventually that guy can play football. I like the way he played at Ole Miss. He didn't get in any trouble. He has not been in so much trouble with other guys came across playing college football. So, you know, my book, Chad Kelly can play.
Vince Ferrar with us from the Sports Animal in Knoxville. He used to cover the Tide, so he's very familiar with things around the state of Alabama as well. Yeah, I tell you what, when they ran Jalen Hurts back out there in the Ole Miss game, when he almost got killed on that play, and that turned into a scoop and score, because it was still kind of like in the lurch then. You know, it still felt like it was in the lurch then anyway. And they said, oh, Blake Barnett this and Blake Barnett that. When they ran that kid back out on the field after that play, Cooper Bateman, David Cornwell, Blake Barnett, they could all transfer right then because nobody else was going to play quarterback for the Tide. You could, if you're that believing a guy that much, a young guy that much, a true freshman, all of them guys could have left after that. And they did eventually.
Well, and you just don't want them to do it in the off season. That's why you delay that until you get going with the season.
Yeah, that's true. All right. What are some of the other things that you're looking for in that spring game? Larry Scott says they're nowhere close making that decision either at quarterback. But what are some of the other things that you would be looking for the Vols fans to be looking for as they watch the game, matchups, battles, things like that? Because, you know, obviously in these games, there's no scheming going on, but there certainly are a lot of camp battles going on.
Yeah, and in Tennessee, as much as anyone else, it's going to be a different team in the fall than what we see now because so many guys have been out. It'll be interesting to see how many of the starters at skill positions we see and how much of them. One of them is John Kelly, who didn't practice yesterday, and Butch Jones said they're kind of monitoring and that he pointed out that they've got to see and he's got to get through a long, grueling season. So that leads me to believe that they're thinking about leaving him out and not taking any sort of risk with him. He's one of only 2 scholarship running backs they have. And I think probably feels to me, it's going to be tough for him to have a significant role come fall because of his size. I think Ty Chandler will come in here as a true freshman and walk in as a number two guy. We'll see if Phil Amia, what he looks like, because I think he'll get a big workload in the spring game. Other position battles, the offensive line. Where does Trey Smith line up? He's been at right tackle a lot, but he's worked at guard also. You got a lot of guys that can play multiple positions. Jayshon Robertson has been at center when he was their starting left guard for much of last year. So I think there's a number of positions to just to see how guys do at different spots on the O-line. In D-line, you're still limited in numbers. It's going to be tough to gauge too much of what you see. But if five freshmen coming in a fall on the defensive line, so they're going to be a much different group. I think another one of note will be corner, who starts. Also, they've got guys injured at corner and safety. So, again, there's position battles. You want to see how individuals do more so than the battles, because there's so many really notable guys that are out that are going to be back in the mix in those competitions come fall.
There you have it. That is your rapid rewind for this, the 19th of April. Ooh, tomorrow's my son's 17th birthday, 2017. All right, when we come back, phone lines open for one more go-through. Plus, you want to tell me what that order was right there? So far, Russell snagged them. We still have one more pair of tickets for the Pablo Francisco show available to you. If you can just give me the order of those guests. And if we haven't already got somebody on the text line with it, I'll let you call it in as well. It's the Tom Abraham Show. Back with more right after this, right here on 730-1039. Yump.
730 and 1039. The Ump. More sports.
This is Brandon Tierney, and this is a CBS Sports Minute brought to you by CDW, making IT solutions work for you. I can't lie. At the end of the day, I really couldn't care less whether 5, 15, 20, or 25 Pats failed to show up to the White House for today's celebration of last year's Super Bowl championship with President Trump. But to be clear, it's got nothing to do with the Pats or even actual politics of the Oval Office, but rather, there's simply more important things going on in the world than to keep a petty scoreboard on who showed up, who didn't, and more specifically for those who elected not to show their motivation for not showing, whether it was President Reagan, the Bushes, Clinton, or Obama. I never viewed these visits as political endorsements. It's a photo op, a perk for reaching the top of the mountain. And because this is the United States of America, the players have the ability and the freedom to make that very personal choice. Me, personally, I'd show up, especially if I disagreed with the methods or ideology of a specific president. But hey, that's me. I'm BT.
IT orchestration stories from CDW. A new business was located in a secure building with secure locks protected by a leading security company. One problem, their printers, they weren't secure. So CDW orchestrated a secure printing solution for them using HP PageWide Enterprise printers. They have built-in security features to help defend against network breaches. Print security by HP. IT orchestration by CDW. Learn more at cdw.com/hpprinting. CDW, people who get it.
Napa Know How.
There's no kind of rich like Oil Rich. And with the Castrol family of oil on sale at Napa, including Castrol Synthetic for just $5.69 a quart, you can load up on a serious amount of oil. People might even mistake you for some highfalutin oil tycoon. So head to Napa, where Castrol's on sale, including Synthetic for just $5.69. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer expires 4/30/17.
Loved ones.
Well, it was bound to happen. Football season will come to an end, but what that means is spring football is right around the corner, and so is the spring season. Now is the time to treat your vehicle to the ultimate in-service care at Woody Anderson Ford. You'll be stunned at the beautiful new service lanes, and you're going to want to leave yourself some extra time to have breakfast or lunch at Henry's Mustang Cafe. In fact, head to the Mustang Cafe any day, and while you're there, check out the new 2017 Fords. Woody Anderson Ford at Sparkman and Jordan Lane.
Keep your lawn looking awesome with Superior Lawn Care. Use our probiotic lawn care program and expect less weeds in a very thick, green, and lush yard. Better results while using 70% less chemicals. Biologically, we help nourish your lawn and support healthy growth and roots. Our lawn care specialists are ready to help you with the necessary products to maximize the beauty of your lawn. Now is the time. Visit IHateWeeds.com to set up your free quote. Superior Lawn Care. Care. We come, weeds go. Moe's Southwest Grill is a fun and engaging fast casual restaurant serving a wide variety of fresh, made-to-order Southwest fare in an awesome environment. Everyone is welcome at Moe's. Visit the new Moe's Southwest Grill at Bridge Street today for tasty burritos, tacos, nachos, salads, burrito bowls, and so much more. And no one makes queso like Moe's makes queso. Download the Moe's app today for your free cup of queso. Moe's Southwest Grill, where everyone is welcome and no one leaves hungry.
Welcome to Moe's!
We like saving you money. So this Friday morning, get your $50 gift certificate for $25. It's the sweet deal of the week. The half-price sweet deal never tasted so good. Friday morning at 9. Log on and click on the sweet deal. A $50 gift certificate to Moe's Southwest Grill for only $25. Umpsports.com.
Hey. It's our time. Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867. Here's Tom Abraham.
Just sit right back on the wheel.
It's time now for what to watch on TV tonight. Of course, the NHL and NBA playoffs take center stage. Braves baseball as well. We got the Bravos tonight, don't we? Do we have the Braves tonight? We got the Braves tonight. Nationals are at the Braves tonight, 6:30. First pitch. To watch it on the TV, listen to it right here if you'd like. In the NBA... Hawks at Wizards. That's a forgettable game. That's at 6 o'clock. I say that. Maybe you're an Atlanta fan. That'll be on the NBA TV channel. I shouldn't be ugly like that because, you know, our buddy is, Bo Estes is on that channel. So I should be nicer about that deal. Stanley Cup playoffs, game 4, Capitals at Maple Leafs starts at the top of the hour, followed by Wild and Blues. I will be watching the Bruins game, Senators at Bruins on the USA Network. That starts at 6:30, and then that one is followed up by the Ducks and the Flames as they will be going for sweepage there. Indians at the Twins, by the way, on ESPN. Who's got – oh, there you go. Thunder at Rockets is on TNT at 7 o'clock. That one is followed up by the Portland Trail Blazers at the Golden State Warriors on TNT. So your NBA playoffs are on TNT and over there on the on NBA TV as well. And I highly recommend if you are a baseball fan and you just want to kind of bump around, watch MLB tonight on the MLB station. It's like Red Zone. Okay, it's like the Red Zone channel. And they just bop from game to game to game to game with live look-ins. It's really pretty enjoyable. You just put the remote down and boom, you just watch it. I don't have the Yankees and the White Sox on over here on the side on the extra innings deal. On your network TV, Fox has Shots Fired. I still haven't seen it, but I heard it's pretty good. That is coming up at 7 o'clock. Law & Order Special VIX is a repeat on the NBC station. Chicago PD is also a repeat. Criminal Minds Beyond Borders is new tonight. So those are some of the things that you can catch up with there. All right. Rocky Top Russell grabbed a pair, the Thursday night pair. If you want the Friday night pair of tickets, Friday night, 9:30 to Pablo Francisco. At Stand Up Live, all you've got to do is be the first one to hit me in the text window, 732-982-7469, with the order of today's guest list. I feel like a DJ in the 70s. Those five songs we played. Give me the order of the guests, and I'll hook you up with the tickets. In the meantime, tomorrow, Throwback Thursday, Bob Marley music on the show. Because, you know, it's, 420. Yeah, let it sink in. For Tony Mack, I am the Big Dog. Have yourself a great night. This is 730-1039. Yeah.
There's a threat targeting America, Lyme disease. Spread by tiny ticks, this dangerous disease can cause life-changing health problems and is now more widespread than West Nile, tuberculosis, and HIV/AIDS combined. So it's time for us to target Lyme disease. That means checking for ticks when you've been outside and seeing a doctor if you experience the warning signs, which can include joint pain and flu-like symptoms. Learn how you can target Lyme disease at targetlyme.org.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
I kept on trying, learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
We did it, so can you.
For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
Premature birth is the number one killer of babies. Those who survive often face birth defects and complications that affect them for life. For hundreds of thousands of families in the United States, this is the hardest thing they will ever have to face. And it's even harder on the baby. March of Dimes is providing education and support to families and funding life-saving research to give every baby a fighting chance. You can help. Do something today. Give them tomorrow at marchofdimes.org/tomorrow.
Every 2 minutes, a child enters foster care in the United States. More than 23,000 of these youth age out of foster care without anyone to protect them and care for them. You can be the difference for a child or teen in foster care. To learn about fostering or adoption, call SAFY today at 334-270-3181 or visit the website at safy.org. Consider becoming a foster parent, an agent of hope. Log on, safy.org.
Not on my watch, our military service members say, as they volunteer to serve, as they move out, stand firm, and take fire. So not on our watch, we say, to the severely ill or injured veterans who can't get the care they deserve to live full and independent lives, even when there's no government funding or a nursing home seems like the only option. We won't leave one warrior behind. Not on our watch. Join us at findwwp.org.
Hey everybody, we are
Lady Antebellum.
When we started out in Nashville, we never imagined what we were going to be able to achieve. We got here because we worked together and had each other's backs.
In America, we have the privilege of being a diverse society made up of people from all kinds of backgrounds. And that's a big part of what makes this country such a great place to live.
When we put aside our differences and work together, there is no challenge too great to overcome. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
Together, we can turn a rescue ship of refugees into a maternity ward. Together, we can turn a stairwell into an ER at a moment's notice. Together, we can vaccinate 710,000 people in just 11 days. Together, we are Doctors Without Borders. Doctors Without Borders goes where others don't to provide life-saving medical care. Learn more at doctorswithoutborders.org.
He has an overbite that makes him look like a cartoon character, a slightly crooked eye, and an uncommonly wrinkly neck. In the right light, he can look a little like a garden gnome, and he'll wear a bow tie just because. Sure, you might call him a little quirky, but that's exactly what makes him so perfect. Tuna is a 3-year-old Chihuahua Dachshund mix with more than 700,000 followers on Instagram, and it all started because he was adopted. You can't buy a best friend like Tuna, but you can adopt one. Help us save them all at bestfriends.org.
Premature birth is the number one killer of babies. Those who survive often face birth defects and complications that affect them for life. For hundreds of thousands of families in the United States, this is the hardest thing they will ever have to face. And it's even harder on the baby. March of Dimes is providing education and support to families and funding life-saving research to give every baby a fighting chance. You can help. Do something today. Give them tomorrow at marchofdimes.org/tomorrow.
Okay, Sarah, I'm dropping you at Emily's, and Josh, you're going to soccer, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, and by the way, when I pick you up, I'll be wearing my short shorts.
What?
No!
Yep, me and my short shorts doing my daddy dance. Your friends will love it.
No!
Well, I might change my mind if you buckle your seatbelts.
Okay, okay, we're buckling up.
See, all buckled.
Whatever it takes, keep them safe. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
Sarcoma. Odds are you've never heard that word before. For the 40 people diagnosed with sarcoma every day, it is a life-changing word. Because sarcoma is cancer. Through awareness, advocacy, and research, the Sarcoma Foundation of America